Welcome to the So What Are You Reading podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie.
And I'm Alicia.
And today we have an interview.
Yes.
We are interviewing author Courtney E. Quinn. She is an author of a fantasy romance, The Corsicola Chronicles.
I hope we're going to say that.
Yeah.
I can't really read you guys.
Right, but that's okay. She's going to explain it, everything when she gets on here.
She knows.
But her book is available now on Kindle, so go get it. But before, of course, when we get into that, what have you been reading? Have you been still on your visual novel?
Yes. So we finished episode 2. So we finished episode 2 and all of the chapters in that episode or whatever. Because it's broken down like by various degrees, so it's kind of weird. But in this one, it was really straightforward. So basically what they do is like they kind of reset the timeline and they go through the whole stream of events again. It's just that certain things have changed and it's from a different angle, right? So like in the first one, they go to the Watanagashi Festival, and then the next day, like, somebody gets demoned away, somebody dies, and, like, they're trying to figure out who it is. Keiichi winds up dying in the end, and, like, he thinks that his friends Mion and Reina have something to do with it. Cool, whatever. This time, though, they're investigating the string of incidences that had happened, like, the prior 4 years and stuff like that, and it was really just about, like, those three head families, that kind of ran the village since it, like, became a thing. And then after World War II, they just kind of, like, got really traditionalist with their beliefs. Like, we need to take it back to the old school because obviously this new shit isn't working. So, like, one of those things was human sacrifice after the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoever didn't follow whatever customs. And, like, that's what was really bothering me about it while we were going through it, because it's like, okay, well, what are the rules then that they need to not break so that they don't get, like, offed in some kind of way? Like, right. What are those? And, like, what the detective was just saying was, like, at a certain point, it really doesn't matter. It's whatever, whoever is in charge, whatever they deem to be, like, against the rules. So in this case, it's the storehouse. It's in the middle of their, like, shrine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the little girls, Rika, she's the shrine maiden. Her parents owned it, and then they got offed in a previous incident. So now she's taking over it, and, like, she cares for everything, and she's the caretaker. She's 7. She's 7. That's another thing. So, like, there's an age in range. So, like, Keiichi is older. He's, like, 14, 15. Mion and her twin sister, Shion, are, like, 16 years old. Reina's, like, around Keiichi's age, like, 14 or whatever. And then after that, it's Rika and Satoko, and they're, like, 7. And they both live on their own because they're both orphans, and they just kind of, like, help each other out. Like, they can both cook. They own their homes because, like, she's a shrine maiden. Like, so she's kind of revered in the community even though she's a little kid. Like, they look at her kind of almost like she's an elder, so it's kind of weird. Anyway, she's caring for the storehouse. What winds up happening is the lock that's on the storehouse, it has a bunch of, like, torture devices in it. Basically, that's what's in there. So no one's allowed in there. So Rika said that the lock on it was just too heavy because she has to go in there and clean the stuff.
Yeah,
she's like, this is too cumbersome for me. I need to, like, switch it up. Guy comes in, they switch to a simpler lock, and then because of that, Keiichi and his friends are able to break into it and they go in. So now they're all getting offed, basically, like, duh. And it was just this whole thing. Keiichi died at the end.
Oh, no.
It was a bunch of torture. Somebody fell down a well. It was like,
it was
are
a
they
lot of drama going
like
on.
Are the twins switching? We still don't have the answer to that. Like, it's yeah. So more questions than anything.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then, you know, reading Under the Dome and my nurse book a little bit while I was at work. Right now I'm at the part in Under the Dome after, like, Rusty takes that little boy to the hospital, the one that shot at the dome.
What an idiot.
He's a child, so, you know, like, that it made perfect sense.
Dumbest thing.
I could totally see that, like, yeah.
Like, anyway, a plane didn't work? You think you're just going to shoot
it's
at
gotta
it?
It's got to be an Aquarius doing that.
You're just going to shoot at the dome.
That was an Aquarius.
You, jelly, you dumbass.
That was an Aquarius born in January yeah. that did that. he thought he was going to get them out the hood with that one.
Yeah.
He thought that was going to take them out of here.
Stupid.
It was a lot. But yeah, so at that point, we're like, that boy's going to the hospital. And like, Barbie's mad. Duh. And like, they're trying to figure out what other part am I at right now? Like, kind of like they're just now starting to look for Dodie. Sammy is asking around, and yeah, kind of stopped in the middle of something because I had to do my chores. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice.
What have you been reading?
I've been reading The Man Trapped by Shadows.
Yes.
By Pete Zacharias. Such a good book. I'm almost done with it. So it's like three. The story is about these three women that have gone missing.
Yeah.
One of them went missing 30 years ago. And
I remember this.
Mm-hmm. And then one went missing recently, but they found her body. Mm-hmm. And then one is now still missing. And so they don't know, the police and stuff and Rooker and Millie, they don't know if she's alive. But as the reader, we know that she is alive.
Okay.
She's being held hostage by someone. We don't know who this person is. Because we read the person's, we read the killer's point of view, but we don't know who the killer is. Mm. And I couldn't even. There's so much happening in this.
You have to literally reread that section and then just reread everybody else's point of view and be like, okay, whose tone of voice?
Right.
Or it could be, but it could also be somebody like that's unknown not there. To the people. Yeah.
Right.
That would piss me off.
So I couldn't even. There's so much happening in this book. I mean, it's really good. It's really good. It's like a really true mystery.
Ooh.
And so we're just kind of going along with the story, trying to find out who the hell the killer is. Mm. Who then got these girls? And the killer is such like a freak. He's like a sexual sadist.
I knew it. I knew it. What does he do? He eats food weird. I bet.
He's just like he likes to, like sexual pain.
Okay.
He likes his body to be in pain or other people's bodies to be in pain.
Okay.
And like the girl they found, her a trigger warning. Her body was like burned down to like the bone when they found her.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, this is like someone's really. Does this he work is in really a crematorium? Mad. So he works in some sort of official capacity, not official, like he's some sort of nurse or something like that, because
when like he has access to mortuary services,
right? I don't know, not so much more like first aid services of some kind.
Oh, like medical,
some sort of medical services of some kind.
No, don't let him be an EMT.
So he's something
EMTs
like
are sexy.
That.
Don't let him be an EMT.
And this will have been the second. If it is an EMT, this will have been the
if
second
he's an
book
EMT.
Where an EMT was the killer.
No, are you serious?
Because the other book I read by James Patterson, he was collabing with those other three.
No, EMTs are hot.
Yes,
they're not supposed to be doing this. Sure. They're not supposed to be doing this. Like if you're an EMT, you got to be a slut for that job.
Yeah.
Like not in a bad way. I'm just saying. Like y'all, I guess those in the community, well, in the EMT community, they would know. No, yes. This is so sad.
So it is such a good book.
I hope he's not an EMT.
I couldn't even. I don't know.
I hope he's something lame.
There's so much going on. Like there's this conspiracy guy that's here. His name is Worrell Henny.
Mm-hmm.
He's in it, and he's got like all kinds of theories that are going on, and Rooker knew some information about the case and he didn't want to give it up, and Rooker kind of strong armed him and made him give it up. And ooh. Then he wrote like this really scathing piece about Rooker in the newspaper that kind of really threw Rooker under the bus.
That's fucked up.
And so that's going on. And then you have the police's point of view, Tess, Harlow, and like the actual real police of the town.
Mm-hmm.
They're also looking for this killer and trying to find out what's going on. And then you have the news reporter lady, this woman, I can't remember what her name is, but she sleeps with Rooker and ends up like using that against him to get in... get like a inside scoop on what was going on.
Period.
Because they had been drinking and stuff, yeah. And then she sleeps with him, and then she prints like his quotes mm-hmm. in the paper the next day, mm-hmm. which helps her like boost her career, and then she gets her own segment. On period. The news.
She ate that. Yeah. But also, damn, because now he's going to use this as an excuse for being a shitty person. Right. Later.
But well, no. So now, so
like
he's
all
used,
you bitches do is betray me.
So he's used that. He's using that to as a way to like get a favor from her. So he's like, ooh. If you hear anything about the case, you're gonna have to tell me now. Right.
Yeah.
So now they're in that kind of situation.
That's cute. I like that.
And then, you know, you got Rooker and Millie. They're the ones they're looking for the girls too. They kind of, and Rooker's is somehow the killer is somehow, he knows Rooker in some way because he left the note in the beginning of the book. He leaves a note for Rooker saying, do you want to come out and play?
Yeah, that was that weird shit. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Mm-mm.
So.
No.
No. No, I don't. I don't want to come out and play. Goodbye. Thanks.
Like.
Thanks for the offer.
Why would you even ask me something like that? You want me dead.
That would be great. Okay, bye. If you could just leave me alone. Bye. Thanks.
I would have wrote on the back of the paper.
Right. No.
Nice try. Not falling for that again.
Yeah, you're not going to get me. And so Rooker's still having he's having visions of terrible things happening to him even when he's like awake. Like things will be happening to him.
He's
hallucinating. And he's also drinking a lot.
See?
So that's not helping.
He's going to see somebody.
Mm-hmm. He definitely needs to go see somebody.
He said, oh no, they're starting again.
Right.
Sir, you need to get on your Zoom every day at 10. You need to get on your Zoom.
Talk to a friend, sir.
And not BetterHelp. Don't go there.
Yeah, a real person. A real actual person.
Yes.
Oh, that is so funny. But yeah, that's where I'm at. So I could not even guess who the killer is.
He's written this book. I forgot about that. He's so much other stuff.
So much is going on. Yes.
I'm like, oh yeah. Someone's life is at risk.
And so this girl, they don't know if she's alive or not. So there really is a race against time for them to find her before.
That's so fucked up.
Right. So
What if he kills her right before they get there?
And it's also, like, a really scary book, so I don't like to read it.
I don't know. It's hard for me to, like, read scary stuff because, like, I don't think I grasp it. Like, the fear fact, like, I have to see it. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. Maybe I haven't read a scary enough book, but, like, I'd be reading stuff, and I'm just like,
no, I don't like to read this book at night. So I don't like,
I need to feel that. Like, I don't. I don't know. Anyway.
So I'm excited to finish it. I should be done in the next couple of days.
Period.
I really wanted to be done with Under the Dome, but I just couldn't be finished with it. I had so much other stuff going on.
Same. I'm not even halfway done. Girl.
Yeah, I'm almost halfway, so that's good.
Girl.
So much happens in that book. That's another book where so many things are going on.
You know.
It's again, you people need to be under a dome. You need to stay.
Click the button.
Seriously, you're awful people.
Except me. Don't put me in there.
Yeah. Wait for me to leave and then click the button.
And then click the button.
Because they need to be there. But we're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to be on an interview with author Courtney Quinn.
Before we get into too much, we wanted to take an opportunity to thank our sponsor, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery. The Anxious Tomato is more than a simple art gallery. Started by Ashley Laufer and Kate Roussel in their stride to connect with the local artistic community, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery strives to provide more education and accessibility to art and artists in Tacoma and its surrounding areas. They aspire to be an experience for the public, ensuring that everyone leaves with a renewed view of art and the artists behind it. Their online presence allows for artists of various mediums to submit work, be recognized, and engage with the community. If you'd like to experience a new type of art gallery, support, engage, and donate to the Anxious Tomato at anxioustomato.com. That's anxioustomato.com. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
All right. All right, everybody, we have author Courtney Quinn on here with us. Courtney, if you just want to introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello, everyone. I am a newbie author. I wrote the Creaser Crawler Chronicles, a fantasy romance book. And that's it. It's my first book in the indie author scene.
Nice. How are you liking it so far as the community?
It's definitely a very welcoming community. Everyone's very passionate about the books they read and the stories, and it's really nice to see such like a impassioned like group of people,
yeah,
like gathering together over one topic. It's really nice to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nice. Especially when you come into something and they're welcoming.
Yeah. Well, the further I get into it, like, I see a lot of that, too. So I just like to ask, like, you know, I'm not a writer, but, like, I'm just curious through what we've been doing. So
would you mind telling everybody where you're from?
I actually live, I'm on the East Coast, New York.
Oh, nice.
Lived here my whole life. Unfortunately, I didn't leave the nest in terms of location.
Well, if the nest is New York, girl.
Yeah. There's so much to do, right?
Like, you're good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very true. It's the city that never sleeps.
That's right. So we've got to ask, what's your favorite thing to eat around in your area in New York?
Well, I feel like as a New Yorker, I should say the typical answer of pizza or bagels.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But actually, yeah, that's pretty true. Pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza's my favorite New York meal.
It is really good.
All right.
Very true. I'm from Connecticut, so I know the pizza.
Oh, like, I'm going right on over.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza. I actually have family there. That's exciting.
Nice. So what initially got you into reading? Have you always been a reader since you were a kid?
I actually have. Ever since I was little, I remember actually the first day, it was actually in elementary school when it's like they're teaching you how to read. And I remember the day specifically when I looked, it was in a textbook actually, and all the words kind of clicked together. And it made me so excited. I just started reading the whole textbook. ever since then, so elementary school, I've always been a big reader and even a writer then too.
Nice.
It's always been like a passion.
This is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I wish I could get that for my son. He's not a reader. And his teacher's always like, don't force him. And I'm like, but it's just so much fun. Why doesn't he understand? So
he doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. But she's like, he'll get it.
You need to get him manga, girl. Mm-hmm. You already know this, what it's going to take.
Yeah, I do.
Get Robert.
I have an older child, and I'm starting to get her some of the like chapter books. Like I haven't gotten to like the big novels. But I started to get her like little ones. I'm like, look, this has a nice story. I think you'll like this one. Mm-hmm. Like trying to entice her to read. Yeah. There are dragons and sword fighters and princesses.
Yeah, that's why I try to get him to read. He brings home some pretty good books from the library. There's this one series, The Last Kids on Earth series.
Oh my
it's
God.
Like about these kids where like it's been a zombie apocalypse and they're the last kids to survive. And it's like a comic book series. It's also a series on Netflix, too. But the book is like kind of a chapter book-ish series.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like sometimes his teacher is the teacher's always like, he could be reading like Harry Potter. And I'm like, he's in the second grade. I don't think he's going to be reading Harry Potter. I don't think he'll be interested in that.
Yeah, what was I tried to get my oldest to read that. And she's not ready for it yet. She read a few pages and she's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe when you're older.
Right. Just got to let them ease into it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get it. You'll fall in love, I promise.
It's going to just take that one thing.
Right. And that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to, like, cycle through stuff to just find, like, something that'll catch his eye.
Yeah.
So that's my game plan. In case anybody was wondering what my game plan was for teaching my child how to read. So what kinds of media do you like to read? Are you, like, a regular book person? Are you a... Do you like audiobooks, or are you, you know, a Kindle girl?
I honestly haven't really ventured into Audible books. I do have a lot on my Kindle, though. Mm. I was, for the longest time, only buying paperbacks because, you know, it's like, you have to have the book, the paperback in your hand. Mm-hmm. I won't get a Kindle. Mm-hmm. But then I ran out of bookshelf space. Right. I was like, Kindle it is.
Yep.
Yeah. I like to be delusional about my books and the amount that I have. And digital space just seems so infinite to me. It's like...
Right?
Oh,
it's never ending.
Right.
You never have to worry about having
until I like run out of space. And then my husband's like, you need to delete
some of the stuff.
Like, whoa, just make it bigger. Like, what are you doing?
We'll just buy more.
You're not
space.
Even trying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So where's your go-to place to buy books in your area? Do you have a good bookstore?
Barnes and Noble. Unfortunately, I don't have any local bookstores that are just like the nice mom and pop shops. There aren't any by me, so I have to go to Barnes and Noble's for my books or just order online.
Oh, I'm a big order online.
I love ordering.
Yeah.
But that's just because I don't leave my house.
Yeah. It's so convenient.
Same, though. Mm-hmm. Same.
It's very convenient to just have them.
Yeah,
show up to the house and you're like, oh, well, look at that.
Right. But I do want to, but I do go to Barnes and Noble sometimes because I'm on like Barnes and Noble TikTok a little bit and like they'll have their employees in there and they all like will make TikToks about their favorite like synopses of different books, like their favorite genres, like things that really stood out to them that year. Obviously, they do read a lot. So like I like seeing that.
But some Barnes and Nobles have like their local stuff too.
Yeah. And it makes me want to go and like, I don't know. I just like reading what people tell me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm very.
Tell me what to read.
No, yeah. Because it's so much. Like I will explode. I can't focus. So
sometimes I have to be like that because I won't be able to pick.
No, exactly. It's going to take me forever.
I finished a book and I'm like.
It can get overwhelming.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially
if you have a lot.
Especially after you've like recovered from like that last book hangover and you're like, I can't believe that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then you're ready to get into something new again. It's like, no, you need to measure up to the last one. I'm not just going. I'm not messing around. Like this is serious. So
this is serious. I'm not
sometimes
playing
it.
Around.
Sometimes it takes somebody like, no, this is good. For me to be like, okay, it's good.
So, do you have a favorite genre of book that you like to read?
Mostly fantasy. It kind of just pulls into the whole. I like to when I read books, I want to be taken away from my current.
I am the same way.
Situation. Like, so
there's enough modern of the regular books? World. I've seen enough of it. Let's go someplace else.
I've had enough.
Yeah.
No, literally.
So mostly fantasy. Yeah.
I totally get that. Do you have a favorite author? Favorite fantasy author?
I
or several
do.
Authors.
There's the. I don't know if you would, I guess you feel the big names like Sarah J. How do you say her last name?
Mass. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get hung up on pronouncing last names. I never want to mispronounce them.
No, same, because I thought it was like Massey. I'm so glad I didn't say that.
Yeah, she's everywhere right now. Everyone's reading her.
Yeah, her and then the woman that wrote... From Blood and Ash. So Jennifer L. Armentrout, I think that's her last name. Like those authors. And then a lot of fellow indie authors I started reading too.
Sweet.
Nice. They're really, really good writers. There's one book that I read that was by another indie author. I messaged her. I got through the book in 2 days. And I messaged her when I finished it. I was like, please tell me there will be more books. I need this.
Girl,
that's what I'm saying.
Scoop.
Like when those feelings hit, bro. Oh my gosh.
That's nice.
I think that's what it, I like to torture myself. Mm-hmm. So like that's kind of where I pick things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's been a little secret nugget of that we've got from doing this podcast is we've gotten to get to know a lot of authors and then reading their books and you're like, oh my God, I've got to tell everybody about this
yes.
book.
Yes. Why would you write this?
Yes. A lot of secret gems out there.
How could you do this to me?
Oh my God. Gotta read
really?
It.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of the books you find out there from these indie authors.
It's
like,
insane.
How did you come up with this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing and it gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like,
it does. And I'm always very excited. Mm-hmm. Even if I think that they should do time for their crimes.
Yeah, like, you've killed the best
kid. You make me
yes. Right?
Like, yeah. No.
So what draws you to a particular story when you're looking for a book?
Probably when there's high stakes. There has to be high. I've read some books where there's no high stakes moments. There's no, you know, intense moments where like, oh, this is happening. What's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. It's just kind of been one singular, mm-hmm. you know.
Somebody's got to go.
Yeah.
You're like, nobody's died. Nobody's been hurt.
I don't know who it is,
yeah.
but somebody's
got to go. I need the drama.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a good high stakes. It's got you on the edge of your seat.
Right. And it doesn't have to be like high stakes like in the normal sense. Like you just need to make it very clear to me what's important to these characters and then like put whatever that thing is in jeopardy. And I'm like, oh, no. Like I will automatically care about whatever you're talking about. Like if you told this guy to protect this pickle or he's going to die and I see that pickle fall, I'm crushed like, oh right God, now. Like, I'm sick happened? Right now in the car. Like, I'm about to throw up. Because
those are the best books, too, because then you'll be up so late reading. You're like, I
it's
swear.
So bad.
It'll be okay.
I mean, it feels like I'm going through so much alone.
I love a good high-stakes book. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have, what are your pet peeves when it comes to reading? What makes you not want to finish a book? Do you not finish books? Are you a not finisher?
Ooh.
Most of the time, I will finish reading it.
Okay.
Unless, I can't remember the name of it, but there was one book that I didn't even get past the first page, and I knew right away.
You're like,
no,
nope, that's
for me.
It. Enough.
I was like, yeah, that's no thank you.
Mm. I want to have that kind of discernment.
Yeah.
I'd be like knee deep. I'd be like balls deep into a book. And I'm like, I don't think I really like them. Like it's during.
Usually I will finish it too. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, yeah.
Usually I'm the same way. Usually I need to see it through. And for this one, I was like, nope.
I don't
not salvageable.
Anything else from here.
I love that.
So what turns you off from a book? What made you want to close that book up?
It depends on the book and like how it was written, but if it's written in third person and it's not written well, I have a hard time finishing it. Like Stacy went to the store and then she grabbed an egg and like explain it to me nicely.
Yeah, I don't want to read about you in third person. I don't want to talk to anybody
nice.
In third person. No, I totally agree.
Or when it's too matter of fact and it's like, I could have done this. Like,
and it just seems like you're trying to fill up the page. Like just trying to fill up space.
Mm-hmm.
Like this seems like a lot of
Well, okay, so like I guess for me that would be like if the third person that they're talking about isn't like omnipotent in some way, like I need you to have insight, bro. It's like if I'm asking my husband about what happened on the phone and he didn't get any details, bro. No background, no follow-up questions. He just knows what happened. That doesn't help me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
You're not helping. Thanks.
Like, don't
thanks
piss me off.
Things. I definitely get that.
It's kind of like you're withholding it.
So do you have any favorite tropes or least favorite tropes?
Favorite tropes? I guess, like, enemies to lovers is always a good one. Forbidden romance.
Oh, I love forbidden romance.
right?
What those kind of forbidden always... are we talking?
Not like not anything age inappropriate.
Because I'm here, but I just mean like I'm not here for no foo foo shit. Like I don't care that you guys are from different families. Like I don't care about that. It needs to be actual forbidden. Like you will die if you come within 3 feet of each other. No. Like your skin will fall off, and you're gonna do it anyway. I need to be forbidden, almost impossible. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I do like forbidden.
Like love. You're sucking her life force.
Good.
By being in love with her, and she's like, "No, keep loving
it's
me."
It's okay.
Like, yeah.
Like I need
y'all to be delusional, and it somehow winds up working. Somebody's got to give up their powers. I don't know. I need that.
Exactly.
Same thing with enemies too. It's got to be good.
Oh yeah.
Like real brutal. Like he's got to be mean.
Like, why are you really my enemy?
I need to be like, girl, don't do it. Like.
You said don't do, but then you're secretly like, yes.
But, yeah, but when it happens, like,
yes. Get it, girl. Mm. Yeah. I was secretly rooting for this the whole time.
But that's just me being toxic.
Right. Yeah. So do you have go for it.
Least favorite trope is when they add in a surprise pregnancy.
Yes. Yeah. I told your biggest haters.
Unless it's been written, like, very well, most of the time, as soon as I see it, it's like, oh, her stomach was cramping. Oh, she was so fatigued. It's
yeah, like, or like she can't eat her favorite meal, this random, like, bro. Don't piss. Not right before summertime.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't piss me off,
and they like, well, always feels like a get-out-of-jail-free card kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know, like she was just about to go and do this, and now,
or like she's got one foot out the door. Right. Like we finally have realized, okay, this isn't gonna work. But like now, everything falls right in place. Mm-hmm. Somehow, the baby is the most powerful thing in the world. I don't know.
Yeah,
and then like they've got to protect it because somebody's gonna take it. Which, like, girl, nobody wants your fucking baby. Like,
relax.
We were rooting against this.
Nobody wants your baby. Calm down.
Except for that crone over there.
So do you have a go-to book recommendation when you're, is there a book that you always go to recommend?
Ooh.
Depending on the type of book that, like, one is looking to read, I'll recommend Throne of Glass in terms of the storyline. It's one of my favorites. Mm. In terms of if you wanted a more sophisticated, I guess, romantic book, but minimal smut, I guess I should say, A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness is a really good series that I always recommend to people.
I feel like I've heard of that.
It was actually a TV show. That just ended its last season. Okay. I think it was last year, but it was one of those books that it kept this like hold on me for all these years. Mm-hmm. And I always go back to read it at least once a year.
Mm. Oh, nice. Could you give us a synopsis of that?
It's this woman, which is also nice actually that it's a woman in her mid to late 30s. Usually when you see these books,
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Their early 20s or they just turned 18. Like it's an older.
Yeah, as soon as you turn 30, you're elderly. Women. Yeah.
But that's what I want to see. Like, I don't care about what they're doing in their 20s. I'm in my 20s, but I don't care about what they're doing in their 20s because I'm not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see somebody else do it.
So she is a professor and she is doing, I forget what the term is, but she's staying at Oxford in the UK. And she's writing, she's working on, of course I can't think of the word. She's a professor in America, but then she goes to Oxford as kind of like a temporary stay and she's working there and she's a witch and it's the typical of like witches and vampires and, demons, but not demons in like the biblical paranormal sense.
Mm-hmm.
Demons in the sense that they are, their intelligence is like high above anything else than like the normal person. And it's all about like you can't intermix, you can't, you know, talk. It's like, it, and so she meets this professor just by chance, who is a vampire. And it's kind of like, it's a basically like a forbidden love story.
I think I do know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
It's really good. It's so good.
I heard it was good.
Ooh, I like that. Anything with wolves and vampires, I'm down.
I wish I was better at describing things. Unfortunately, I'm not. But trust me, it's a good book.
You're like, no, this is it.
No, yeah. This is,
no, 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 I believe you.
It sounds good. I'm like, wolves and vampires and witches, I'm down. That sounds good. So what are you currently reading now?
I am actually rereading the Throne of Glass series.
Mm. Is that Sarah J. Maas book?
It is. Ooh, I'm nice. On Looking the third book, Air of Fire. And it's one of the, it's another comfort read that I'll go back to read at least once a year.
Oh, could you give us a bit of a synopsis on that?
It's the third book in the series, and you just found out, like the first book and the second book, you find out that Selena, I guess is how you pronounce her name. Or Selena, she was like, you learned that she was an assassin, the best assassin in Rifthold. She was kidnapped. She was forced into the mines as a prisoner.
Oh no!
And then she's released because the king was looking for a champion, and there was going to be this competition. So mm-hmm. she was chosen, and throughout the first two books, you find out that she is not actually who you think she is. She is actually the heir to this kingdom that was taken over by the current king. And this book goes into her reclaiming her powers and
nice.
Trying to get the aid of the Fae to try and stop the king from having all this power.
Oh, I like that.
It's really good.
Oh, that does sound really good. I love a good
the box set.
Nice. I love a good revenge take back story.
Yeah, you got to get your lick back.
Yeah,
especially that's rule number one.
That it's a woman in every a woman.
Got
in
to.
I like that.
Got to.
Yeah.
You can't forgive or forget out here.
No.
And actually, you have to make sure that they don't forget either. You got to bring it up every single time.
Especially when if it's the king and he's out there flaunting how he's got all this money, you're like, no, that's actually mine. And I'm going to need that back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to take that back.
Whose name is on the deed? Yeah.
That's actually mine, but thanks.
Yeah, you have to be really, really rude about it.
So can you tell us a little bit about your book and your series?
My book is, the first book is, it's actually going to be a trilogy. The first book is the Chrysocolla Chronicles. It's set in a world where mages are outlawed after the king's wife was murdered. And it centers on the main character, Briley. She is a lieutenant in the king's army, kind of like the king's lieutenant. And she has her soldiers who she is in charge of, and her job is just to hunt down these mages and kill them or
take
whatever
them out. Yeah.
happens. She, and one day on patrol, she happens to fight, well, not fight, like she runs into a lichen that was long since extinct. She passes out from the battle, and she wakes up in the mage compound with the general of mages. And it's all about her, basically everything that she thought she knew is not what it seems to, everything's not what it seems to be.
Yeah, because I'm very confused as to what the mages did to the wife. Like, what does your wife getting killed have to do with me, bro? Like,
Exactly.
Is it because I didn't go to the funeral?
I feel like the king's definitely.
Is it because I took a to-go plate?
Right.
Like, what's the reason?
Ooh, that sounds good. Where'd you get this idea from? It was just all your fantasy reads?
Just all of that knowledge coming.
Big brain knowledge.
Yeah
literally.
It actually, and I always, I try not to laugh when I tell the story. It sounds so typical, but I dreamt about this back in 2018. So it was like before COVID and everything. But in my head, the person who played Aliard, the love interest, was Jack Whitehall. What his name is. And then the Queen of Mages was Audra McDonald, the Broadway singer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a whole scene played out in my head. And I remember I woke up, it was like at 2 a.m. And I had this feeling, I was like, I need to write all this down. So I'm just at 2 a.m, I'm just scribbling down everything that happened in the dream. And then it kind of just developed and developed. And then finally it was last year, or I guess I was just like, I need to tell this. And that's how it came to be.
Oh, that's really cool. That's nice. I love it. That's something I would do at 2 a.m. Like, yep, I need to write this down.
That's why I'm so mad I don't remember my dreams, bro.
That's what they say. I feel like they're lit. You have to keep like a dream journal by your bed so that you can write things down like that.
No, literally.
That's really cool. And then where is your book available at?
It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Google Play.
Oh, nice. Oh, that sounds really good. We're going to pick that up. Look, Alicia's picking it up right now.
I'm just looking.
So what is your social media?
My social media on everything, I think except Twitter, it's at author Courtney E. Quinn. And then Twitter is author C. E. Quinn.
Nice. So we will have those in the show notes, and send me that link so that I can buy the book. Don't hog it all.
I'm not going to hog it.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you for having me. So much fun.
Yes, this was so much fun. We are definitely going to have the link to your book in the show notes, and we will hit you up. And then definitely send us your address so we can send you a podcast sticker in the mail.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
That was awesome.
She's so sweet.
She was so sweet.
Ugh.
Oh, and her book sounds amazing. Really good. Yes.
Sounds really good.
I love a good get back story.
I love give a good lie.
Give me my shit back. Yeah. Give me my shit back. Yeah. With your lying ass.
Yeah, I'm trying to get more into my fantasy bag.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'm not smart enough. Like, well, it's not that. It's having to reset all of my world knowledge as far as, like, how things work. I have to learn about a new society every time.
Mm-hmm.
I be getting tired.
It's confusing, yeah.
I be getting tired.
But this sounds like a good book.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get that for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I'm going to get on my Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to fill up my house.
I'm not gonna fill up my house with books.
Even though I could if I wanted
to. If I wanted to. It's mine.
But I'm not gonna.
Oh, that was great. So we're definitely gonna have the link in the show notes. Go get that book.
That was a good startup to interviews again. That was good.
Yes. Go get that book and it says it's gonna be a trilogy, so you gotta get the book now so that you can be caught
so
up.
So excited. Yes. No, literally. Oh.
Oh. Before we get out of here, I wanted to give a quick shout out to a previous guest author, Laura Holt. She was giving away free copies of her book on audiobook, and she sent me a copy.
Nice.
So I got a copy of that. It's her book, A Village of Salt and Sorrow.
Mm.
It is available on audiobook, so go get that if you haven't got it.
It'll be the only audiobook I listen to.
Yes, so I'm excited about that. It sounds like a good book.
Yeah.
If you listen to her episode, she said it was about a village, obviously. but it was like, you know, old history, and she liked to combine history with ancient myths and stuff. So yes. I like that kind of thing.
I'm enjoying that, too. That's why I've got Lapvona on the list, too. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see what that's about. If I can ever get through Under the Dome.
Mm.
It feels like a maze I'll never get out of. It just feels like things are, like, I feel despair.
You got to cut it. You just got to commit.
I'm going through a thing right now.
Right. also, don't forget to head over to The Anxious Tomato. We're going to have a new guest artist of the month. When this episode comes out, I don't even know who the new artist of the month is next month for May. So go check it out. Whoever it is, it's going to be
the 30th, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's going to be a good episode, or it's going to be a good show, so go check them out. They're at theanxioustomato.com.
Boom.
And then head over to the Artco Framing and Gallery. If you're here in Tacoma, they've got Amy Lewis. She's got her art up there. Yes. Amazing. And they're going to be having a parking lot party for their anniversary in July.
Oh,
Artco Framing and Gallery. Yeah. So
yeah, we got to go to that.
Yeah. Keep a lookout for that. That's going to be going on in July. Artco Framing and Gallery. And what else do we have going on? Locust Cider. Tonight's gallery night.
Yes, it's tonight.
Yeah.
Gallery night at 4 o'clock.
Yes. So if you...
Well, not at the time of us airing this.
Yeah, if you can travel back in time somehow, boom.
I mean, like, figure it out. Try your best.
But...
Like, I'm not judging you if you don't. It's just kind of, like, lame.
But planning ahead for the future.
Yeah.
Their gallery night is the last Sunday of every month. So head over there. And even if you don't head over to gallery night, the art is up all month long. They change it out every month. So you can head over there and take in the art, take in some good cider. We've got them there, and we've got them at the Locust Cider in Gig Harbor, too, as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we got art, we got cider. Mm-hmm. Go get it.
We're in.
And then, of course, don't forget to hit us up. So What Are You Reading podcast on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And check us out on Facebook, our private Facebook group.
Yes, and Apple Podcasts.
Yes, and we're on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review.
I'm so excited about
Please.
Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
It just makes my podcast listening way easier. Mm-hmm. So, like, I personally feel like this was a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please leave us a rating and a review. It really, really helps us out. Mm-hmm. And it would help us drive us up the charts and get us out to reach more people. So please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Even if you don't like it, put 5 stars. And
yeah.
Be like, you guys
it doesn't
suck.
Matter what you say. Say anything.
Yeah.
Say, you know, you guys are idiots.
But also be nice to me because I'm sensitive.
Because I'm sensitive. So don't say mean things.
I will cry.
But please leave us a review. We would really appreciate it.
Yes.
And we will talk to you guys next weekend.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.